So I'm joined by Sarah Franklin, founder of Short Stories Aloud.
Hi, lovely to be here.
Hi, so Sarah, for our listeners, would you mind explaining what the concept of Short Stories Aloud is?
Sure, it's a monthly literary night that we hold at the Old Fire Station down in central Oxford, usually on the fourth Tuesday of every month. And the general idea is that two guest writers, guest authors come along and we hear their stories read by professional actors. After the story reading, if people are still awake, which they hopefully are, we host a Q&A with the authors. So it's part story reading with the professional actors and part sort of literary nights with guest authors there to answer all your questions.
Which I suppose is quite different to any other sort of event.
Yeah, well, I was going to say I stole the idea. That's not quite true. I imported the idea from the US. There's quite a famous night over there in New York called Selected Shorts, and I lived for a few years in Seattle where we borrowed the concept and put it on in Seattle. And both Selected Shorts and the Seattle night that I was involved in used what I said, it used dead authors and famous actors, and they were really, really lovely nights and built up great big followings. The New York one has people like Kevin Spacey coming in to read Chekhov,
you know. Oh, wow.
So it's a really cool thing. And I'd always thought it would be really interesting if you could have the authors in the room from time to time in Seattle. The author would happen to be there, and it always really, really brought the evening to life for me when you could then ask the author, you know, why did you write it like that, or what else have you written, and sort of really get into conversation with them. So when I moved back to the UK a few years ago, I thought it would work perfectly for Oxford. And set about, with the blessing of Seattle, setting it up over here.
So do you find there's much of a difference between the American nights and the English ones?
The English ones, and I think this is a really good thing, are probably rowdier. I think we've built up a really sort of brilliant core audience. I mean, I quite often say they're the best literary audience in Oxford. I actually think they're the best literary audience anywhere. And, you know, I've been to a lot of events and I've set up a lot of literary events. The audience is just amazing. They bring this sort of really, really good attitude and atmosphere to the room. Every event, I ask people at the beginning to put up their hands if it's the first time they've come. And for the first few months, I used to feel slightly despairing that we'd sort of have an audience and then they'd sort of regenerate. So you'd never have the same audience twice. But I think at this stage, we're 2.5 years in, and there's a good proportion of the room that's, you know, coming back month after month, which is lovely. You know, they're coming, I've seen people, this is going to sound quite cheesy, but people have started to make friends there, and I see them then on sort of social media arranging to meet to do other things, and I feel really sort of proud.
Lovely.
I know,
it's a little community.
Yes, exactly, and that was always the intention with it, that, you know, Oxford's got quite a lot of really good sort of fringy things and some fantastic traditional venues for performance and theatre, but what I felt would work really well was that space in the middle where you could create a community of people who loved writing and books and publishing. And Oxford's such a brilliant city for this kind of thing, and something that's quite informal, you know, that people can come along to on a Tuesday night, and it's just going to be a place to meet your friends.
So the next Short Stories Aloud will be on the 25th of November.
Next Tuesday.
Are tickets still available for that?
Yeah, there are tickets still available. You can buy them in advance through Tickets Oxford. Or just show up, that, you know, on the door. So tickets are £5 or £2.50 for concessions. So it's a very reasonable night. But if you want to make it more reasonable and even more sort of delicious, then we do have a somewhat strange policy whereby if you bake a cake, you come in for free. So we always do end up with lots of
should
cake.
You'd also have to bring the cake. Presume that you baked the cake.
That's right. You can't bake a cake, eat it, and then show up to tell us all about it. No, that wouldn't work.
Are there any types of cake that you'd really like people to bring?
I don't mind at all. I harbour a secret desire for someone to bring a rainbow cake, but that's an awful lot of work.
I mean, I'm making a mental note.
There you are.
So, the next event is going to feature both Mark Watson and Adam Marrett.
Yes, that's right. And I know, Emma, you're very excited about this.
Genuinely am.
As am I. Yeah, so people will know Mark Watson primarily, I'd imagine, as a comedian. He does lots of stand-up. He's been on shows like Mock the Week.
I feel I should actually add a plug. On BBC iPlayer at the moment, there are two of his shows available.
Oh.
There's Mark Watson Talks a Bit About Life, which is the most recent show. It only broadcasts sort of throughout October, November. And there's also Mark Watson's Address to the Nation. Both feature Tom Basson and Tim Key, and both are available on iPlayer now.
Get you, amazing. Well, there you are. You can catch up with Mark Watson before you come. Mark Watson is also, however, a novelist of some standing, and he's written this fantastic novel called Hotel Alpha, which is basically the, you know, it's a novel set in a hotel, and it follows some of the characters, the owner, and so on, through a number of years in the hotel. But to go with this, and this is what's really interesting from a short stories perspective, he's written 100 short stories, which are all on an accompanying website. And the website itself is just huge fun, because you sort of go on there and it's got room numbers. So it's like going behind closed doors, and you can click one and read the short. Some of them are, you know, a couple of hundred words. Some of them are about 1,500 words. So there are stories for any kind of length or flavour. And then at the bottom, and I spent hours playing with this, there are hyperlinks essentially, which will take you to other stories about that person or about that room or a different time period. And so you can really do sort of get lost in a maze of rooms in the same way as you might in a hotel. So it's
it's quite interesting that you've used the word maze there, because I was doing a bit of research for this, and Mark Watson actually wrote that he wanted it to be a sort of non-linear experience whereby you can explore it, you know,
I must tell him that it worked.
Well, I do think it's quite interesting, because what he was saying is that he wanted to capture the sort of way that we absorb information nowadays online. You do just sort of hop from website to website.
Yeah, no, you absolutely do. And with Hotel Alpha, you know, the book and the website, they're just really interesting. They sort of they stand apart from each other, but they're enhanced, you know, by each other, essentially.
Because both some characters reappear in the shorter stories, and, you know,
yes, absolutely.
Relatively minor characters get their own short stories.
Yes, exactly that. So we'll be hearing three of the stories, of the shorter stories, obviously not the entire novel, that would be craziness.
The entire novel read very quickly.
Yes, exactly. Before the break, we'll hear all of Mark Watson's thing. And actually, having Mark Watson coming, the last time I saw Mark Watson, he was, you know, hosting an evening, and so I asked his editor whether he would prefer to read his stories. We don't, you know, we've had people come before who are actors as well as authors, and generally we make them sit in the audience and they love it. And I thought, well, hang on, you know, maybe I should just double check. And Mark was very relaxed about the whole thing and said whichever we preferred, but, you know, he'd quite like to do it the way it's usually done. So we've got one of our favourite regular actors reading Mark Watson's stories, which I'm sure is, you know, no pressure whatsoever. And it'd be really interesting actually to see how that works for someone who's used to hearing his own work being read by himself and probably has a very particular idea of how it might sound.
So just to clarify for the listeners there, the authors are actually interviewed after the second break?
Yeah, that's right. So we do a couple of stories and then we have what we call a cake break, a sort of small shake it all about break. There's a bar, and as we've established, lots of cake usually to eat. So people sort of get up and have a quick wander, and then we sit back down for the second half of stories, and then we have a longer break after that. So it's a three-part evening, usually.
And all the questions are provided by the audience.
Yes, absolutely. I mandate that the audience asks the questions. And in case that's putting people off, I remember when we first started, I said very excitedly, there will be audience interaction, and half the audience was like, oh God, not coming. What all this means is that I hand out pens and pieces of paper and ask people to think of something that they'd like to ask the authors, and it can be to do with the stories that we've just heard, or it can be something entirely random. Sometimes it's, do you prefer cream or custard? So, you know, there's really no rhyme or reason to what the questions might be. And the best questions, the two best questions, usually win a prize.
So I guess then a question for you would be, what's the best question you've seen throughout all of the short stories?
Oh, that's such a hard question.
You can take some time to think.
That is a really good question. I am very fond of how does it feel to hear your work read by somebody else, because it usually provides really thoughtful answers. Often they come, so once we had an author who had written, one of his stories was all about a painted VW bus, you know, it was a big part of the story, and one of the questions was, how would you paint your car? And then the next month, somebody asked the same question, how would you paint your car, without the context of the story? And the poor author was like, probably about 15 years ago, I went to see Nick Hornby talking to Dave Eggers.
Wow.
Which was, I know, it was it was wonderful, actually. It was lovely. And I'd sort of gone more for Nick Hornby than for Dave Eggers at that point, although, of course, subsequently then lived in the States and realised that Dave Eggers was, you know, God. And there was a girl, when they got to the Q&A part, it was in the South Bank, so it was quite a big audience.
Yeah.
And Dave Eggers was lovely and charming. Someone got, put a hand up, was called upon to ask Dave Eggers her question, and was so overcome by the idea that she was going to get to speak to him that she fainted. Oh. It was amazing. When she was revived, he kind of came back to her, and she just could only giggle and sort of be hysterical and couldn't get a question out. I was like,
wow.
Poor girl. And also, my God, people really care. And then I saw him probably about 5 or 6 years later. He came to Seattle. It was a really packed audience, but there was no Nick Hornby, and everyone was kind of really cool. And then when it came to the Q&A, somebody put their hand up and said, would you like to go for a beer afterwards? Some guy. And Dave Eggers said, you know what? Normally on these things, I go back to my room and, you know, carry on. I've got my laptop and I need to get some work done, so I do some writing. But I didn't bring my laptop, or it was broken or something. He said, so a beer sounds really good. Where should we go? And he basically took the whole audience out for a beer afterwards.
Brilliant.
I was like, I love this guy.
And I suppose the other author who's going to be there, the next one, is Adam Marek.
Yes, and I know I'm also exceptionally excited about Adam Marek. So Adam Marek is essentially a short story specialist. He's won lots of awards with his short stories. And he's also what I would call a sort of, he's a short story writer's short story writer, if that makes sense. And when I asked him to send me a selection that he'd be happy to have read aloud, he sent me some. He said, this one's the funniest one I've ever written, this one's the saddest one I've ever written, and this one's my favourite. I was like, oh God, the pressure. And so I was really torn. I think I asked the audience, actually, you know, do we want funny or sad? And of course, you know, got a 50-50 response, which was no use whatsoever.
So I'm curious, what does Adam Marek think the funniest story he's ever written?
Well, you're going to have to wait, because we're going to hear it read next Tuesday.
From the idea of Adam Marek, I know that he writes a lot for Comma Press.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
So would you like to recommend any anthologies that are worth...
You really like to ask me the questions to put me on the spot. I'm thinking, do you know what? I haven't got it with me, but one of the things I want to review later today for BBC Oxford, because it's National Short Story Week, one of my favourite short story anthologies comes out every year is the Bristol Short Story Prize anthology. They're lovely, and they send it to me every year, and there's a story. This is the 7th issue, so obviously the prize has been getting 7 years, and they just attract a really good, high-quality, sort of varied... number of authors, so you never quite know what you're going to get when you open it up. And otherwise, short story, this isn't really anthology talk, but short story collections that I love. Ryan Boudinot is someone that people over here don't know enough. He has an amazing short story collection. We've done the title story at Short Stories Aloud, and it's the whole collection's amazing, but it's called The Littlest Hitler, and the first line is something like, and then there was the time I went to school dressed as Hitler for Halloween. And you're like, oh God. And it ends up being a really poignant story about this little boy whose mother's left him and his dad's kind of muddling through and maybe not quite paying enough attention. And if it wasn't bad enough that he'd gone to school as Hitler, the sort of most popular girl in the class has gone as Anne Frank.
Oh,
and so the whole thing just falls apart in the way that you would probably expect it to, and in some ways that you would not expect it to. And he can do that really brilliant thing that I think good short story writers can do of weaving funny with sad. And I think it's a peculiar talent for short stories. I think you see it much more in a short story than you see in a novel if it's done well, because there isn't the space, you know, there's such an economy.
And it's also something that works really well when read aloud.
Yes, that's right. And actually, when I brought this over here, I had a long Skype call with my colleague back in the US. It was sort of done through an arts venue over there that's not unlike the Fire Station. And I emailed them and said, I'm going to nick your idea, is that okay? And they said, that's great, you know, it's not our idea in the first place. But my Seattle colleague said, you know, and they're 10 years into doing this now, and they have sort of audience of 200, and it's amazing. And they said, funny works. People want to come and be amused as much as they want to be gut-wrenched. But it's really hard to find funny stories. You know, we went through a number of months when I'd sort of say to the audience, sorry, but there's nothing funny. And you would be incredibly moved, and that's lovely, but, you know, finding funny stories is, I think, it's harder to do, and we've talked about this with the audience quite a bit. We think it's because you haven't got very much time to make an impact in a short story, and so grief, it would appear, is easier to elicit than humour. I suppose it's more universal in some ways.
And thank you so much for your time.
No, you're welcome.